Welcome, my friends, to episode 83 of the Mail Right Real Estate Agent podcast show. This is one of your co-hosts, Thomas J. Nelson, and in a moment I'll introduce my co-host. But right now I want to introduce our guest this week, who is, I'm excited to have her on because she's a stager and an interior designer. Her name is Butena Hassani with More Rockin' Interiors. Butena, would you please introduce yourself and tell us a little about yourself?
Thanks for having me, Thomas, and thanks, Jonathan, as well. My name is Butena Hassani, and my company is More Rockin' Interiors. I started in the staging business about 4 years ago, 2 years as a part-time, and then the passion took me over to full-time on 2 years ago. I come from a finance background, but my passion, my true passion, is in interior design, interior decorating, and staging. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You know, that's a funny that so many of our guests come from the financial world or the corporate world, and we're interviewing them for something far more creative and things that they say they're passionate about. So there's a trend I see in our guests. Jonathan is my co-host, and I think we should let him introduce himself.
Yes, but before that, I'd like to plug our sponsor, Thomas, and that's Modern Mogul Marketing. Basically, they will help you with your Facebook campaigns. Grant Wise, the CEO, has been on the show. He will be coming back in March. And go to their website and have a look at the courses and the training they provide to real estate agents. And on to me, basically, I am the founder and CEO of MailRight, which also helps you with Facebook and with other online marketing activities.
Thank you, Jonathan. And I'm Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a San Diego residential realtor, where I'm never too busy for your referrals, and you can find me on my website at thomasjnelsonrealtor.com. I want to start off the show by wishing you both a happy Valentine's Day. It's our Valentine's
Thank
Day show.
Thank you, Thomas.
You too. So, Butena, I would say the hot topic in real estate, one of the hot topics is to stage or not to stage. The constant battle we listing agents have with our clients and their vacant properties, or maybe not vacant. So why don't we start off by talking about some of the advantages of staging a home and why we do it?
Yes, I actually agree that there's a lot of struggle and there is a lot of debate from both sides, the real estate agent and the people that sells their homes about staging. So to answer your question about the advantages of staging, there are a few actually. And if we go back to official statistics that the RESA had published, staging actually makes 81% of people actually overlook the downside of a home. So the 81%. Because usually people cannot visualize what the home would look like.
Right.
So when they come in, they see the furniture, the focus is taken away from the actual home and it's put into the furniture.
So they're distracted by it. Yeah. So now let's start with vacant homes, because there's staging homes that have existing furniture, and we'll get into that in a minute. But so what are the, I as a listing agent, I know the obvious challenges, but maybe not all our listeners do. So let's talk about the disadvantage of a completely vacant home, no furniture in it.
There's two major disadvantages. One of them is that the home looks cold when you come in, that warm, fuzzy feeling that you come into a home. You're looking actually as a house.
Right.
When you don't stage it, it doesn't give you kind of a feel, I can call this my home. So it will register a little bit maybe later, but right on the spot, it doesn't give you that fuzzy feeling. The second thing is people cannot have their home listed vacant and getting the response they want immediately. Statistically speaking, a home that's vacant stays on the market 60 to 90 days more than a home that's staged.
Wow. Wait a minute, that's a staggering statistic. I want to repeat that. You're saying an unstaged home can stay on the market an average of 60 to 90 days longer than a staged home.
Absolutely.
Okay, that, well, right there, that's money down the drain.
Exactly. So that's one of the biggest downturns to a vacant home. So, and actually I reached to some agents when I saw their listings that were empty, vacant, and basically because of their experience, or they think they don't need it, and I go check it out again in 60 days and it's still there. So, yep. And they prefer to do a price reduction than to stage. And if you do the math, your price reduction would always be more than your staging.
That's another good point. So it's the debate between, do I stage the home and spend the money, mm-hmm. or do I reduce the price and lose the money? And again, if the average month of staging is going to cost less than what the average agent does a price reduction at, mm-hmm. which is typically in $5,000 or $10,000 increments. Mm-hmm. We just, for some reason, like those round numbers and bring it down. Yeah. And a price reduction typically isn't even effective unless you reduce it down to a price point that actually introduces a new buyer pool. So in some cases, that's a significant drop.
Absolutely.
Okay, so... you know, let's talk about the other disadvantage of an unstaged home, which is defining the room. Some people cannot visualize, because we don't sell homes that all have square or rectangular rooms.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that we, especially here in San Diego's downtown, there's a lot of polygons and triangles and everything else. So, let's talk about that. I mean, you help a room, you help people visualize how to place their furniture. Is when you go into a home, how do you decide what furniture is best going to set off that home? Like, you don't just throw any furniture in there. What's that process?
Well, there's a couple of things that we need to take into consideration when you go staging. I do what I call the walk and talk. So first of all, I come to a house, I have to see what's the architectural feature that I have. Am I talking about a Tuscan? Am I talking about modern? Am I talking about craftsman? So each house has its own particular pattern. That's number one. Then I go through the house and I check the things that needs to be fixed before any staging comes in. I mean, you're not going to be staging a home that needs painting or needs to be cleaned, or even if it's vacant, let's say you have a window that's broken. So,
right.
So these things have to be fixed first. And when that's addressed, I also address the fact that, okay, let's say the most common here in San Diego is that we have Tuscan house pretty much everywhere. So we talk about either a full staging. Full staging means that you are staging every single room in the house. Or we talk about partial staging. And in this case, we're staging the main areas that will actually give a lot of impact at first impression,
okay.
Which means living room, dining room, kitchen, master bedroom.
Okay.
So those are like the main partial area staging. And if you have a gorgeous backyard, if it's normally or wishfully a partial in some homes, when it's a main, I would say, attraction, then the
right.
backyard has to be staged.
Okay, so in other words, if it has a sprawling lawn and or swimming pool, you want to also include maybe the back patio or back deck.
Absolutely. I mean, you want to make it as, I mean, in San Diego, it's sunny all the time. So
right.
most people live outside. So you
right.
want to have a patio, you want to have a fireplace there, you want to have things that would attract people to come say, oh, you know what, I can see myself being in this home and enjoying friends over, 4th of July, birthdays, you name it. You have to put a spin on it. Why am I staging for? What am I trying to convey to my clients?
So now I would say, let's go back to the point you made, because we talked about earlier, people can either reduce the price or stage the home. And so why not try to hang on to that price, but increase the value of the home by showing people with the staging of it, what it could really be. So from an expense standpoint, what are people looking at? And I realize it varies depending on the size of the home and the type of furniture, but let's just use a 2,500 square foot home. Maybe it's a 3-bedroom, 2.5 bath, 2,500 square foot home. Mm-hmm. What are people looking at for a budget? How do they plan for it?
If they can do their homework if they want. They can check the rental companies out there. Like in San Diego, we have Quartz, we have Fashion, we have Brook. And usually they all have a minimum of $1,500 a month.
Okay, so there's industry standard minimums.
So that's like right there. And then the 1500 only gives you like a dine-in, a master, and a living.
Okay.
Which means just the bare minimum. You're not talking accessories. You're not talking, let's say, rugs. You're not talking features that will make the space stand out. So typically you're looking at a minimum of $3,500 to $5,500 for a 2,500 square foot home if you want to do a partial staging with features that will look like this is stage. It's not like just furniture. Because staging is not only furniture, and I believe that a lot of people that think, oh, we're just going to throw some furniture. That's not staging.
Right.
Staging meaning that you put your house in a stage mode. It's like you're a Hollywood production. Staging is actual production.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, you can actually come to a home and you can fall in love with it. It's like, oh my God, I love the furniture.
Yeah, you know, I've actually had clients walk in and go, can I get the furniture too? They love it so much, they want to buy it as it is, literally.
Absolutely. So you only have 10% of the population that can visualize the space. So
right.
If you can give the visualization plus the fall in love factor, you get yourself a deal.
Yeah, and I've had that experience myself with some of my listings where, you know, in San Diego, a popular property I sell is a loft or an open concept great room, and people have trouble when the living room, dining room, and family room are all combined. Mm-hmm. They're now it's just this giant space, and they don't know where the kitchen ends and the dining room should be, and so I've found that using staged properties in that regard helps people realize how it works. Jonathan and I were talking about this point before you signed on, and mm-hmm. The challenge that I see with some homeowners is they want to use their existing furniture mm-hmm. instead of bringing in furniture. And how do you work it? If, you know, not everyone, I've seen people buy houses based on their bedroom set. You know, they'll make a $500,000 decision mm-hmm. based on a bedroom set that's 15 years old, which frustrates me because I think, why not buy new furniture? What do you do with people that maybe their furniture isn't what you would have recommended for that house, but they're just mm-hmm. carrying this furniture around every house they own? How do you use that furniture to stage when they don't want to get rid of it? They think they're saving money.
Well, that's actually a great question because that's almost a challenge in every house. It is very, I would say, normal that people like what they have, and that's they most of them bought that furniture because they fell in love with it or because there was a sale and they want to keep it. So that's like a normal scenario. So what happens is the first thing I talk to my clients about is they want to sell their house because they are looking forward to go into another house. So they have to check out. So mentally, they have to visualize that they're checking out of the house, that the house is not theirs anymore.
Right.
They are making money out of it. That's the first thing. The second thing is, if they still insist on using furniture, what I try to do is make it down to the bare minimum.
Okay.
So avoiding clutter, avoiding, you know, collectibles, because you see a lot of those.
Right.
A lot of collectibles, a lot of small knickknacks, because in staging, the eye is drawn to the bigger things. So I will keep their bigger pieces. If the couch, for example, is an old couch and it's worn out, I can use a cover and I can use a few accent pillows,
sure.
For example. If they want to keep the bed frame, I can bring a comforter and pillows as well to do that. So basically, we work on the accessories and the cosmetic part of the actual structured furniture.
Okay. All right. Good point.
Well, I think before we go on to our next question, we're going to have to go to our break, folks, and we'll be back in a minute.
Sounds good.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
We're coming back. We've got some other fascinating insights and questions about staging. Off you go, Thomas.
Thank you, Jonathan. So one of the things that I've run into with staging is exactly what you were just talking about. I'm asking people, take down the wedding pictures, take down, we're in a military town. I'm constantly telling my military people, take down the sword and the patches and all the medals. Number one, I don't want them stolen. But number two, I have been in homes where I can give you an example where I was showing a 5,000 square foot oceanfront property up in Carlsbad. And the only thing my clients walked out talking about was the fact that the homeowner had a picture shaking his hand with Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. And that's all they were talking about. I'm thinking, we were just in 5,000 square feet of beachfront property, and all you can focus on is that photo. Mm-hmm. So my point being this, I'm constantly asking people to depersonalize their home and make it more generic. And one of the arguments I'll get is, well, you're having me take down all these pictures, but now the stager's bringing in all these accessories. So talk about, the accessories are important that you bring in because they add to the home, but they also take away from the distraction at the same time. What's the psychology there or the strategy?
Well, I agree with the fact that you're asking people to neutralize their home. So any pictures, any religious symbols, any colors that are so too strong, I would say, for the homeowners that, or the potential home buyers have to go away, because there is what we call a psychology of color, and that also transfers to accents,
right,
and art and everything else. So if I'm in a home where I have, let's say, an Asian flair, the neighborhood is mainly Asian and it has an Asian flair to it. So I will respect that. I would not try to neutralize that.
Right.
I will respect it. I'll make sure to have the pieces that does that. But I will, for example, take, if there are too many red walls, I will downgrade that to maybe one.
Right.
If, for example, there's too many, again, like I said, swords, and people can be just like looking at it, feeling like somebody's going to kill me, I'll take that out as well. Yeah. So again, you have to be able to work with what does the home bring and what you can take away from it, so it doesn't scare the buyer. And you're right, the person that talked about the picture, it took away from what you bring them to see a home, to see a potential area where they live. So picture will take away all that, and people don't realize it. It's not like we're not putting a bad spin on their pictures or their memories. No,
right.
That's what it is. It's their memories. And people are not there to see their memories.
That's right.
They are making their own.
Yeah, and which brings us back to the point you made earlier. It's no longer a home in a sense. It's a house that's for sale, and as far as the seller's concerned. Now, the opposite is true of the effect we're trying to create for the buyer. We want them to see a home, but we want the seller to see it now as a house for sale. It isn't, they need, so it's kind of a tightrope we walk, which is why I love bringing in a stager, because it helps. You're seen as a third party professional, with an opinion that is maybe more trusted in a way than the realtor, because from the realtor, it might sound like criticism, but from the stager, it sounds like professional advice. Which is why I like bringing in a stager. And you have interior design background, so you know how to work with each home. I like the point you made. If for example, we're in a home that the community, like you were saying, is an Asian community with an Asian flair to the architecture, you roll with that. But a lot of San Diego, for example, and I use San Diego since I live here, is Mediterranean and Spanish style. And they're kind of a dime a dozen in these large developments where, you know, if you blindfolded me, I wouldn't know what street I was on because they all look the same. Let's face it. So the only thing that defines the difference is the inside of the home, mm-hmm. which I think seems to people tend to lean towards really making their interior of their homes unique sometimes. And how do you address a seller that you were mentioning earlier, you know, they do have those bold colors and mm-hmm. Those unique choices that are great for them, but they're not great for getting the house sold because it's mm-hmm. too polarizing. So how does that conversation go? How do you have those tough conversations?
Like I said earlier, when we sit down, first of all, I acknowledge what's in the house and acknowledge what people made as choices. That's very important. The last thing you want to do is basically put a bad spin or wrong spin on everything they bought or they did to the house for, because for them, it's their paradise, or at least to the point where they started looking to sell the house. So when we sit down, we talk about what the requirement of selling the house is, but I also show them some of the pictures that they might have an idea. So for example, we're talking Tuscan house or Mediterranean style, and somebody right. has a very canary yellow wall, and on it you have...
yeah, we do tend to see those.
You have like a big moon or a big, you know, sun there, and then you have another room with an orange,
right.
You know, wall. So what you try to do is to get pictures that like a house that looks the same, and how the staging changes it from a paint perspective, and eventually the accessories perspective.
Okay, so you show them before and after kind of effect. Yes. Okay, so that's a good point.
So in this case, they can visualize what you were talking about. Because okay. once you tell them that you need to neutralize, they look at it as white. It's hospital. That's right. what we're trying to convey.
Right.
You can still neutralize the home that's Mediterranean by using taupe colors or cream colors. They'll still give you that warmth. And with accessories, it makes it even warmer. But you don't go to the extreme of using the both palettes. So, and you have to be careful also about the trends.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, 2017 trends are very interesting. We can still see some of the grays in the area, but we are more in the off-whites. And for accents, we are more in the lime colors.
Oh.
So you have to be careful. And when people go see some model homes and then come to your house and it doesn't have any of that.
Right. Okay. So now you bring up a good point that I wasn't even considering asking you about this, but so is it the new home construction that kind of sets the trend for what's popular in a home? Is that what's setting the bar each
year?
What
people see, yes. But okay. if you're looking at the trends, usually, I mean, as designers, you always look for what's trendy, what's new. And from our, I would say, homework, we'll see like 2016 was all about grays and about coral. 2017 is more about off-white colors and antiques and greens. And, you know, it's so you have to be careful because people, when they come to see mostly a home, they will like, oh, I saw a model home. But yeah, the model home is more modern and has those right. colors. So if we're in Tuscan, yes, off-white is actually back. So we can use off-white mainly, but work on the accents. We can have red accents if they want, or orange or yellow, like pillows, and it makes it warm. Or because of the trends, we can have more greens and more yellow. So we have to be very careful how we combine those colors in order for us to link the buyer to what he has seen in a modern home, but it's not quite modern when he comes to a Tuscan house.
So this is a great point that you're bringing up, because one of the things we could use to, well, I hate to use the word, but convince a seller to go with staging is the fact that people are going to be coming from seeing other homes. And mm-hmm. if the other homes in the neighborhood are more trendy, or if there's new home construction in the area that people could be seeing, that's going to have a big effect on their opinion of your home. It's kind of like going new car shopping and then going to a used car lot. Mm-hmm. You know, people aren't going to be as excited as are on the new car lot. What are some, I'm going to kind of throw a generic general question out at you, but some good tips you can offer homeowners for prepping their home for sale, just in general. Like, what are some of the pieces of advice you give homeowners when you meet with them?
Most of the general points to address with homeowners are, one, like the one you addressed, removing any pictures, any religious symbols, neutralizing the walls in terms of colors. I sometimes give them, you know, I have a palette, so I show them which one they can go to change that. Number three, they have to clean the house really spotless. They need to have that prepared, and they need to remove any clutter. So any knickknacks, any like unorganized documentation, any spots in the carpet. If let's say they have a cat and the litter doesn't smell that great, that smell has to go.
Right.
So when you come in, the smell also, I mean, we're talking to our five senses. And if your if your smell doesn't do it, then guess what? Somebody's going to be turned off.
Right. You just bring up another great point, the five senses of staging. People are going through the house with all five senses on alert.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other point that I wanted to bring is people need to fix any things that needs to be fixing. Let's say a cabinet that the door is loose, needs to be fixed. Paint is chipped, need to be fixed. Let's say lights. If there's any lights, all the lights have to be functioning the day of open house. So these are like small details that will make a huge difference.
You know, it seems like such a simple suggestion, but I couldn't agree with you more. There's nothing like walking into a room and every switch you flip actually turns on a light. Because when it doesn't, people automatically assume there's electrical problems. What do you say to people that say, well, Bettina, you know, this is a hot market we're having right now. Homes are flying off the shelves. Why should I do all that?
Well, that's a good question, because the market right now is actually seller's market, yes. However, let's say you have two similar homes, just like you said earlier. They look the same. Everything is the same. And then you go in. Mm-hmm. If I was the buyer, which one would I buy? If it's square, same footage, same rooms, same layout.
That's right.
I would go with the one that's staged better.
Right. That's a great point. Because even in a seller's market, even in a market where homes are selling in a week or two, people are still doing comparisons.
Absolutely.
And not every market is enjoying the same pace. So there are some markets where you are going to sit a little longer because of the amount of choices people have. And so this becomes the differentiator, is, you know, the vacant home that looks like they just packed up and left yesterday versus the home that looks like a little love and TLC were put into it.
Absolutely.
Oh. Well, I know we're running short on time here, so I want to give you an opportunity to share with people how they can contact you and your website and that kind of information.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Thomas. So people can actually get hold of me different ways. There's a phone number, 858-461-8571, or there's my website, www.mallrockininteriors.com, or they can reach out to my Facebook page under the same name. I would love to help homeowners sell their homes for top dollar, and that's easy for me to do than they might think.
Well, thank you. And we'll have your contact information put up in the show notes. But real quick, where'd you come up with the name More Rockin' Interiors?
Oh, okay. That's a question I get a lot of times. But my background is Moroccan, and I wanted to bring that, you know, flavor into the design world, given that Morocco is very very rich in terms of design and colors and exotic features. So I was like, okay, let me do a play on words. This is how Moroccan Interiors was born.
Well, I think it works too. I love that you did that. That you brought your culture into the. And Jonathan, how can people get a hold of you?
Oh, it's quite simple, folks. You can either go to the Mailwright Twitter page. We're also pretty active on Facebook if you search for Mel Wright. Or you can email me. I do answer all my email if it comes direct to me from a person and they've got a question or inquiry, and that's at Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N, at mail-right.com.
Well, once again, I want to thank our guest, Boutena Hassani from More Rock and Interiors. I think you gave us some great tips and maybe some great suggestions on how to work with our sellers to get top dollar by staging their homes. My name is Thomas J. Nelson. I'm a residential realtor here in San Diego, California, where I'm never too busy for your referrals. And you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and of course, my website, thomasjnelsonrealtor.com. We appreciate you listening. We hope you'll subscribe, and it would go a long way to help us if you left us some comments in the show comment section on iTunes or wherever you download your podcasts. Thank you very much for joining us. And again, Bettina and Jonathan, thanks for being here. We'll see you next week, folks.
Thank you.